Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Book of Acts, your New Testament, chapter 1. Father, as we turn our attention now to your word, I pray that you would speak. Help us to understand, encourage us, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, for the victory that you have won, for the wonderful work that you want to continue to do in our lives and through our lives. Make us most effective, Lord. Commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there are three main holy days or holidays that Christians observe every year. We celebrate Christmas, right? The birth of Christ. Then we observe Good Friday, the death of Christ. And then Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Christ. And well, we should. Those are very, very important events. But there's another important event in the life of Jesus that many times gets overlooked, and that would be Ascension Day, the day that Jesus ascended to heaven. We really should have a fourth holiday observing that. Now, Ascension Day does show up on many church calendars. It is reflected in the liturgies of many church denominations. This year, it will fall on May 5th, exactly 39 days after Easter Sunday. But most Christians, really, the Ascension is an afterthought. It sort of gets lost in all of the excitement of those other three events. Well, let's understand this morning that the ascension of Christ is a monumental event with tremendous significance. And it's recorded in our text this morning. Let's read it. Beginning in verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go in to heaven. Now, let's remember the order of events here. Jesus died on the cross and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. As we saw last time together, the resurrection was followed by a 40-day period of time where Jesus showed himself to be alive to his disciples. So for 40 days, Jesus is popping in, appearing to his disciples in his glorified body, speaking to them, even sharing meals with them. Then day 40, he's on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he dramatically exits planet Earth. 10 days later, the church will be born. The disciples waiting in Jerusalem will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that's the timing of all this. And please understand that this Ascension Day, this event, was an extremely spectacular miracle. It was a wonderful, amazing miracle. It was a sight to see. I know that Dr. Luke, the historian, sort of records it matter-of-factly here. But understand that this was a dramatic miracle. As I told the folks last Wednesday night, when I get to heaven, I hope there's a DVD collection of all the miracles in Scripture, wouldn't you like to see exactly how they happened? Moses standing before that burning bush. The crossing of the Red Sea. Jesus walking on the water, raising Lazarus. This event right here, his ascension, I'd like to see that. There he is standing on the mountains. And he lifts off. He begins to float upwards. I picture him rising slowly at first and then going faster the higher he gets. The text tells us that he was enveloped in a cloud, which I believe is the wonderful, mysterious Shekinah glory cloud of God. A ball of light, a ball of fire, a ball of glory. And up, 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 Jesus goes to his exaltation, to his rightful place in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. It's a dramatic event. Wouldn't you love to see the looks on the faces of the disciples too? There they are, so fixated, they don't even recognize that a couple of angels have shown up. And I see these angels elbowing these guys. Why do you stand gazing into heaven? Well, who couldn't? Such a dramatic departure. And I want you to understand this morning why that was so significant. This dramatic departure of Christ was significant for several reasons. First of all, understand that it marked a completion. The ascension of Christ was the completion of his work upon the earth in a bodily form. This event was the official, formal indicator that the era of Christ's work upon the earth in his body had come to an end. The mission began for him on Christmas morning. The mission ended for him not at his death, not at his resurrection, but at the ascension. This is the official way that the first advent of Christ concluded. And it's really important that it finished like that so dramatically. If there wasn't this ascension, I think there would have been a lot of open-ended questions. We know Jesus showed himself to his disciples during that 40-day period. What if after that 40-day period, he continued to show himself to his disciples, but his appearances become more and more infrequent? He still shows up from time to time. And then eventually, later on, he just stopped showing up. You imagine how open-ended that would have been? How eventually the disciples would start asking questions. Why did he stop showing up? What's wrong? Did he get lost? Has he forgotten about us? And can you imagine how those same questions would linger 2,000 years later? The ascension, the dramatic way in which it took place, ends all of that. We know. Jesus stood on that mountain with his disciples, gave his final instructions, and then launch. Jesus has left the planet. I think it's also noteworthy that he didn't just disappear at the Mount of Olives. He could have done that, right? He could have just disappeared. But that, again, would have left questions because he had been disappearing and then appearing during that 40-day period. And maybe they're thinking, well, he's going to appear again. He just simply disappeared. No, this dramatic launch signaling the end of the first advent. Very important. And by the way, the ascension tells us that Jesus completed all that he was come to do in that first advent. Jesus paid the price for sins. Jesus has opened the way of salvation. He never has to offer himself a sacrifice again. Amen. His blood has been shed. The way of salvation is open. He's completed that work. We also know that Jesus, in his first advent, crushed the serpent, crushed the head of the serpent. The devil was defeated at the cross. The devil is a defeated foe in the lives of Christians. So, very important, completion. Secondly, understand that the ascension of Jesus was the coronation of Jesus. Ascension Day is coronation day. And I think that's why we should celebrate it as a holiday. Jesus launches from planet Earth in this very glorious way. The scripture tells us that he was received in heaven with great glory, with great fanfare, with great celebration, welcomed home by the Father, welcomed home by the angels, triumphant. When Jesus left planet Earth and returned home, it was then that he was given the crown. It was then that he was coronated King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Mark's gospel tells us about the ascension, and he writes about it this way. I'm just going to read it to you. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. We're told in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of God is the most exalted place, not just in heaven, but in the entire universe. Jesus arrived home, and he was given the place of highest honor, highest exaltation. In Philippians chapter 2, which I think is just one of the most important chapters in all of Scripture, Paul first writes in that chapter about the humiliation of Christ, how he left heaven, how he became man, how he stooped, how he was obedient even to the death of the cross. And then at the end of the chapter, Paul speaks about his exaltation. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the reigning King of all things. The ascension moved Jesus from humiliation to exaltation, from condescension to coronation. We know where our Lord is, amen? Seated in heaven, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. If you're a Christian, he's your King. Reigning over all. Can you imagine what that homecoming was like? I mean, just think about it maybe from Christ's perspective, coming home. Can you imagine getting home after spending some time here? Perhaps the best comparison for us would be that of a soldier returning home. A soldier who's been on the battlefield, fighting, wounded in action, but victorious, and comes home into the welcoming hands and arms of his parents and his family. Can you imagine how beautiful that reunion was? By the way, wasn't it great to hear about Pastor Saeed, who has been released from the jail in Iran? I know many here have been praying for that. Can you imagine the reunion he's going to have with his wife and his kids? Well, can you imagine Jesus returning home after being in the worst war of all of history, Jesus experiencing the horrors of hell, wounded in action? By the way, do you realize that his glorious body will forever maintain the wounds that he suffered at the cross? But after all of that, rising victorious and then ascending and being crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, being medaled, hailed, sitting on the throne. Revelation chapter 5 says that he is the object of unending praise by all the angels in heaven, and he will be the object of unending praise of all his people, both now and forevermore. Beautiful. Our Lord won. He's victorious. He's seated on the throne. So the ascension is the completion of his work here, but it's also the coronation of Christ in heaven. And then thirdly, understand, this is very important, the ascension marks a transition. A very important transition that we actually spoke about last week. His work on the earth in bodily form ended, but at the ascension, the baton was officially passed to his people. Now he works today through his people on the earth. Listen carefully. That transition took place at the ascension and has been in effect ever since, including today. You and I, Christian, are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the mouthpieces of Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ. Understand that baton has been passed to us. Today, Jesus works through his people on the earth. And thankfully, we don't have to do it all by ourselves. Amen? Jesus made a promise before he left. He said, I will not leave you orphans. This is a work that you're not going to have to do on your own, in your own strength. In fact, I'm going to read that Mark passage again. Let me listen carefully as I read. Mark says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. See, Jesus today is still working, but through his people. And I see him in a bird's eye view, right? With all of the intelligence, like a general, moving all of his people. All over the planet. For the last 2,000 years, he has been preaching through his people. Great, effective work being done. You know, when Jesus was here in his first coming, do you realize that he had geographical limitations? He preached, he healed, he did miracles, and he saved in the area of Israel, didn't he? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Today he has no limitations. Today Jesus is preaching, healing, saving, doing miracles through his people all over the world, China, Africa, South America, Europe, India, El Paso. Work continues through his people, but the work is not done in our own strength. The work is done supernaturally. Do you understand? Through us. Remember also that great promise that Jesus made to his disciples. He said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, and you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus made this promise to his disciples in John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus is the gift giver. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit would be given to his disciples. They would become dramatic witnesses. And folks, 2,000 years later, Jesus is still giving his Spirit, empowering his people with his Spirit to do his work. Robert Hall Glover, in The Bible Basis of Missions, writes, "By Christ's ascension and the Holy Spirit's descent, Christ exchanged his bodily presence with his then disciples in Jerusalem for his spiritual omnipresence with his disciples everywhere." That is an astute observation. Man. Christ working in and through us through his Holy Spirit. And also, you realize that Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that the resurrected, ascended, glorified Christ has given his people on the earth gifts. Supernatural gifts. There's a whole list in the New Testament. Preaching, teaching, evangelism, encouragement, giving, compassion, mercy, speaking in tongues, prophecy, healing. No, we are not alone, and no, we don't do this in our own energy. It is a supernatural work. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, speaking of these gifts, writes this: "When he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." The picture here is of a king who is victorious in battle, returning back to his kingdom with all the spoils of victory, and then taking all of those spoils and sharing it with his people. When Jesus ascended to heaven as the victorious king, in his victory, he distributed his gifts, his spoils. Do you understand that if you're a Christian here this morning, Jesus wants to work in and through you, and that he's given you his Holy Spirit, and that you have been given a supernatural spiritual gift to carry on that work? Have you found that gift? Are you a part of that work? So, transition. Completion, coronation, transition. And then fourthly, the ascension has put Jesus in a really new, wonderful role. Do you realize that the New Testament teaches now that Jesus is our interceding high priest in heaven? Did you know that? Because he is ascended, because he's seated on the throne. You know, he's seated on the throne in heaven, but just because he's sitting doesn't mean that he's resting. He is really, really busy. He's the King of Kings. He's moving his people around, and he is the interceding high priest. Romans chapter 8 says, "Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us?" Christian, do you understand? Christ prays for you. Christ intercedes for you. He knows all about your life, what you're going through. Hebrews chapter 4, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He is our high priest. Christian, he represents you in heaven. You are covered in Christ. Because he is your high priest, the scripture says, come boldly. boldly to the throne of God in prayer. Oh. You know, you can go straight to him. There isn't any level of bureaucracy. You dial up and you don't get a, for customer service, press 1. You go straight to him. For the life of me, I can't understand why anybody would get all caught up with a human priest. Why? That is a bedrock, rock solid truth of the New Testament. Christ has become your high priest because of the ascension. Go to him. Going to a human priest is like going to the water boy when you can go to the coach. Right? It's like going to the maintenance guy at the White House when you can go to the president. Go to the president. Go to Christ for yourself. Come to him. Pray to him. Ask him for things. Confess your sins to him. Our great high priest, the interceder, the gift giver, the spirit giver, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the general in heaven. Oh, the ascension means so much. And fifthly, the ascension gives us great hope for the future, doesn't it? It's a very important moment because it gives us great hope for the future. In fact, let me share another promise with you that Jesus made to his disciples in John chapter 14. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." You remember this verse? "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Do you realize that Jesus, the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, is preparing a place for you in heaven? Can you imagine what a job he's doing? Remember that he created the heavens and the earth and all that we see down here in 6 days. A lot of days have gone by since Ascension Day. Imagine what he's doing. Imagine what he's preparing. And I believe that when Jesus is preparing a place for us, he's preparing a place for us with us in mind. Personally, he knows exactly what we want. When I was in college at New Mexico State, I began serving on staff there as kind of the college minister. I did the Bible studies for the college ministry. And so as part of that, they let me live in this little house on their property, me and 3 other guys. This beautiful little house, and they gave us keys to the church. Now, it's great to have keys to the church sometimes, because a lot of times people come at any hour asking for a key, and you get bothered quite a bit. But it gives you access to the church. And I remember going over to the sanctuary late at night, sometimes in the middle of the night. And I'd go and play on that grand piano. And the drum set and the guitars. It was like my own music room. I just lose myself there. I'm betting that Jesus is going to put a music room in my place. He knows me. He knows what I like. He's preparing a place for me. Man, he knows me so well. He knows the number of hairs on my head, even though it gets easier every year for him. Imagine what he's designing. Imagine what he's preparing for you. It's future hope. Also, the ascension is a preview of what's going to happen to you one day. Did you know that? Did you know that one day you're going to take the same trip Jesus did? It's meant to be a preview. In fact, we're told in Philippians chapter 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, listen, transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The Bible promises one day as Christians, we will be given glorified bodies just like the body that Jesus occupies. And one day, in those glorified bodies, we're going to go up, up, up into the glory and splendor of heaven. It's a preview. Do you have that hope? The ascension is also associated with a very exciting, well-known promise. What did the angel say to the disciples in verse 11? Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What also is the ascension a preview of? The second coming. We're told here that the exact same way that Jesus left is the exact same way that he will one day return. The same Jesus who left will be the same Jesus who returns. Jesus left in bodily form. He will return in bodily form. We'll see him. Jesus left spectacularly, visibly. All the disciples watched him go up. When he returns, he'll return visibly. In fact, Revelation says, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. He ascended in a cloud of glory. He'll return in a cloud of glory. He'll even return to the very spot from which he launched. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. When he returns, he will return to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah the prophet puts it this way, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. When he touches down, he splits a mountain. And of course, it's at that time that the Battle of Armageddon will come to an end. And the living, glorified, ascended Christ will reign physically upon the earth, King of kings and Lord of lords. What a future hope. Ascension means a lot. Ascension is very important. Because of Good Friday, you can look back and not be afraid. Because of Easter, you can look ahead and not be afraid. Because of Ascension Day, you can look up and not be afraid. My brothers, my sisters in Christ, are you thankful for what Christ has done for you? Look what he's done. Look what he's going to do. Praise him for that. Live your life praising him for that. And then don't forget the responsibility that's been placed, that the baton has been passed. Until he comes again, we're the people of God. And there's no, well, I can't do that. Great. You were never told to do it to begin with. You were told to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside you. Depend upon Him. Find out what your gift is. Move forward. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not sure that you are a part of this whole program. And you'd like to be sure. Understand that before Jesus can be your king, He first must be your savior. And please understand what He accomplished in the first advent. He paid the price for our sins. And if you want your sins washed away, you invite Him to be your Savior. You put your belief in Him, your faith in Him. You understand what He accomplished for you there. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your victory. We thank You that You are the triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that You reign and rule. We thank You for all the resources, Lord, that You make available to us. Lord, may we avail ourselves of them. Lord, greatly encourage Your people. If there are some folks here this morning who are struggling with a fear, Lord, remind them that You are King of Kings. You're greater than any fear. Lord, perhaps there are some that are going through a hard time. They're down, they're discouraged, maybe ungrateful. Lord, I pray that they would leave this place grateful for You. And Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who does not know You, I pray that right now they'd open your hearts. If that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. I invite you to receive Christ into your life. Let Him be your Savior. Let Him wash away all your sins. Let Him do for you what He came to do the first time for. It's a cry from the heart. It's a longing from the heart. Just cry out to Him now in the quietness of your heart. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Wash away all my sins. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Rising again. Be my Savior and be my King. Fill me with Your Spirit. Give me Your gifts that I might serve You for the rest of my life. Let's close the service by standing. And as you stand, why don't you stand in honor of the King?